Knives, machetes, saws, and shears. Multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Hey, what is up, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of Chasing the Tide, your saltwater connection on the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. I'm your host, Dustin Nichols, back at you with another episode. Been on a little hiatus here, holidays and all that, moving in. A little healthcare after that. We're kind of working on that right now, but we'll get into that later. Right now, we're going to bring in our guest. We have epic guest. Man, been tearing up the tournament scene on the Florida Redfish League. And we're going to see what we got. We got Matt Lanier in the house, Salt Strong Angler, Matt and Yak, eight rods in the back. What's up, man?
What's going on, Dustin? How you doing, buddy? Good to see you, man.
Yeah, it's going, man. It's going. Good to get you. Appreciate you jumping on here, jumping on Chasing the Tide with us, man, and getting to share. We're going to do a little recap and talk a little bit. You know, we'll get started here. And then we're going to recap the latest tournament. You took the win over there in Steinhatchee, right?
Yes, sir. We were in Steinhatchee for the season opener, stop one.
Stop one, busting it out. Well, yeah, if you don't mind, you know, get everybody, you know, introduce yourself, give everybody a quick background, just a little fishing history, and then what led you into that plastic boat.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So been fishing my whole life. Started early up here on Lake Seminole. Dustin, you know, but that's where I live. Lake Seminole is home for me, and that's where I spent a lot of my younger years. My grandfather lived up here, right next to Wingates. A lot of people may know Wingates, and Jack Wingate was my grandfather's best friend. So I grew up fishing up here since I was pretty young. But just a handful of years ago, 4 years ago or so, I decided to start kayak fishing to do tournaments up here on the lake. Is what I decided. I'll start doing some tournaments up here in a kayak, and so made plans, got a kayak, got one under me. And when I bought it, you know, I'm in the middle of rigging it up, and a buddy of mine, he, you know, used to go out to the coast, and he said, hey man, you should really take your kayak out there to the lighthouse at St. Mark's, man. You know, they're busting out there right now. So sure enough, that's where I headed, you know, before I even went to my own backyard, went out there to St. Mark's, and had like a phenomenal day, man. I probably caught 200 fish that day. And I've slayed them. And I've never been able to duplicate that day again, but that's what set me on my path to the salt. And, that's where I've stayed ever since. And, so not long after that, I just had to, learn everything as fast as I could. I knew my fair share about bass fishing, but I didn't know anything about redfish, speckled trout, flounder, you know what I mean? So I needed to absorb all the information I could. And that was how I found Salt Strong. Long story short there, signed up as a member to absorb everything I could. And before long, you know, fast forward again, then I started working in their social media department, helping them with some of their posts and, you know, all of their different social media accounts and avenues. And from there, I just started, you know, kind of doing my own fishing content, you know, on my own, and really just doing really well. And before long, there was an opportunity for me to join, you know, the content team, the fishing coaches, and that's just how it worked out for me. And I've had the opportunity to just spend a lot of time on the water my whole life. And, you know, when I got into a little plastic boat a few years back, you know, it, the freedom of that was like something I've never experienced before. And, you know, I've always needed the freedom to just kind of be free, if you will, you know, kind of just, you know, no boundaries. And kayak has really given me that freedom to just go anywhere, launch anywhere, and, you know, get where places where other people may not go, and just find fish and, you know, really just solace on the water, man.
That's it. I mean, that was the big selling point for me, was the, you know, the ability to launch wherever, you know, roadside launches, you know, backwater stuff that the boats can't get to. That's a big plus here, you know, coming to Texas from, you know, the Southeast with the tide swings we have over there. I know I've talked about it before, but you couldn't wade fish over there. You wade fish in Texas, like everybody holds button their boats and jumps out and wades, you know, a mile and a half. And then, you know, you wade your way back and kind of zigzag through it or whatever and find the fish, you know. But I was like, man, everybody's doing that. So I would wade fish before I surfed. Sometimes I'd go in the moonlight and throw topwaters early on the flats down in Corpus. And then I finally started seeing people on kayaks, you know, 12, 13 years ago. And it's just like, dude, if I get one of those, I could fish all over the place. And then I remember, you know, I tell the story all the time. I had old bright yellow freaking Perception Pescador 12.5. And then I car topped on a little Toyota Matrix and then a little Corolla S or whatever it was. And then I was like, man, this thing's too plain. I'm gonna do a little black fade on the front, the bow and the stern. And then everybody at work would say, man, you ride around that bruised banana on the top of your car. You know, so everybody started out in a bruised banana. So that's always been a good story, you know, about how I got in the game, you know. And that was that sit kind of just a little scooped out, kind of similar to an ocean kayak. It's got a little scoop out seat, just a seat back. So your butt was always wet, and you always had, I mean, but I think.
Yeah, actually, full transparency. My first time kayak fishing was actually when I was really young, man. There was this lake that had, you know, these sit-in kayaks, you know, like they were sit-in paddle kayaks, and they were probably, you know, 9 feet long, maybe. They weren't like, you know, anything special, you know. And you know, we used to fish in this little stock lake with that thing, you know. Yeah. And I didn't even know kayak fishing was a thing back then. I was probably like 14, 15 years old, but we used to go out there and tear up little, you know, panfish and you know, little bass and stuff,
red breast, fly rods back then. Crappie.
Yeah, man.
Yep.
And you know, like it, I didn't know that was a thing. And then fast forward, you know, 20 years and it's like, you know, this is a sport now, you know.
Oh yeah.
And so it's definitely come a long way. And you know, it's interesting to see how it's definitely come full circle in my life, you know, how like when I was a kid I used to do that, you know, and I didn't even know what it was, you know. I didn't even know it was a thing. And you know, fast forward 20 years later and here it is, it's like that's where I've returned to.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. You know, we had a big, you know, we had a lot of neighborhood ponds. We had golf courses with ponds. And then I'd go to the golf course with my grandpa, or, you know, or we go saltwater fishing. And I was always bass fishing, and they'd always be like throwing those big old stick corks on them pin number nines and 209s and big old reels. So screw this. I'm taking my lightning rod and my little Shimano with me, throwing these stingray grubs, and I whoop up on them. They'd be throwing bait and I'd be catching just as many fish, you know. It's pretty funny how things progress over the years, and all this tackle we got now, and all this other stuff we got going on with the, you know, with the motors and the pedal drive, you know, just taken off with the technology and the way the boats are designed and all the accessories you have on them now, the electronics and forward facing sonar and all that good stuff. It's pretty crazy how far it's came, you know, come along here lately. So, man, yeah, long way from starting that old bruised banana, I'll tell you that.
No doubt. No doubt. Woo.
Well, shoot, man. Well, let's get into it. I know the 2024 season kicked off. I know Florida Redfish Series started last year, introducing their kayak, you know, stops as well. They added the kayaks along with their boat series, and it took off pretty good. And coming into 2024, they started out strong down there in Steinhatchee with, I think, 76 anglers on the kayak side, somewhere around there, mid-70s. And
yeah,
you took
you're exactly
the win.
Right, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So, down there.
Yeah, we had 76 people in the kayak division. The boat division had 85, I believe, there. So, you know, they were looking at, you know, almost 180 people in the boat division on top of the 76 that were in the kayak division. And, you know, yeah, we did come out swinging first event of the year. We actually doubled our, you know, a season opener last year, and last year was actually a record number for their events as well. So we doubled their record number last year for our season opener this year. So yeah, it's just really exciting to see how, you know, fast, you know, the Florida Redfish Series is growing and how fast it's taken an interest and just really kind of taken off, man.
Yeah, it was cool to see that they worked something out with Hobie, and it's now a Hobie Worlds qualifier as well, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, we're
to add that to the discussion. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, absolutely. Real fortunate for that to become a thing. Super, super grateful to both Hobie and Florida Redfish Series for being able to work that out, man. That's just awesome that they were able to come together and be able to figure out how to make this, you know, something that brings anglers together again, you know, and bring back the salt into a lot of that, you know, give us a chance at Hobie Worlds, you know, through the Saltwater Series again, you know, something that hadn't been seen for a while.
Yeah, we hadn't seen that since the, you know, IFA events. You know, it's been a while, so it's pretty cool, you know. I'd love to see some side pots thrown in the mix as well. The entry fee's relatively low compared to what we pay for some of our other national level events, you know, on the bass side and then some of ours over here. And I don't know, we got a lot of kickback over here in Texas on the CPR events. We had people that would, we had some rounds going around where they were putting a sponge or something to lift the redfish up to get them within the slot. Say if they were over, they could stick something underneath them and you really couldn't tell unless you really had to look at stuff. But there was some stuff going around. Some people got some fish kicked from the last few events in the Kayak Saltwater Series that kind of evolved from the KBF Redfish Series. And I know a lot of people in Texas got a bad taste in their mouth for the CPR events. And that's why most of our redfish events are still live weigh-ins, where I have a live well on my kayak and run O2 and everything and bring the fish in alive, which is crazy. I'd love to see it go CPR. Just makes it easier on, you're not worrying about fish care all day and all that kind of stuff. And you don't have a live well with 10 gallons of water and 2 8-pound redfish weighing you down as well. But luckily we have motors allowed in these events, but on the East Coast in Florida with the tide swings, no, there ain't no way I'd do that. Yeah.
That's a lot of weight tough with those 9-foot tide swings.
That'd be tough as hell. But yeah, man, let's get into the detail a little bit about leading up to this event, any kind of pre-fishing or anything. You don't have to give away all your secrets, but just to kind of overview of the situation and then and what helped you, what paid off to take the win, you know, what you stumbled upon there.
Yeah, man. So I actually got down there a couple weeks early to start pre-fishing, and truth be told, I'd only pre-fished 2 days, and both the 2 days I pre-fished when I first got down there, those were kind of lackluster too. You know, I didn't put a whole lot of stock into them. You know, usually when I first get down somewhere, I'm just trying to get on the water, put my eyes on as much water as I can, and look around. So, you know, I got on the water a couple days, and I went and looked, and you know, one of those days, I ended up getting stuck out there on dry ground waiting on water from low tides.
I saw those pictures. Yeah, there's a few of y'all out there.
Brutal. Brutal. And so finally when I, you know, got water back, I went back to fishing and I fished for a couple hours and ended up catching my first fish of the year on that day. And that was like the first time I'd or second time I'd been out, but first fish I'd caught. And the day or so after that, I started having a lot of pain, a lot of chest pain, pain in my shoulder and, you know, my ribs and, you know, and it just kept getting worse. Debilitating pain. Finally ended up calling my doctor. Long story short, I spent a week in bed, had to do a bunch of x-rays, EKG, blood work. I've done an MRI. We really don't have a whole lot of answers. There's some muscle tear, and there's also, you know, possibly some damage to my shoulder that I had surgery on, but I still have to do a CAT scan or CT scan on my ribs and lungs and chest, but still trying to figure out what's going on, man. But I was in pain a lot of the time I was down there is what I'm getting at. And I spent a lot of that time in bed and I didn't get to pre-fish like I wanted to. Well, you know, Thursday before the event, by this time, everybody's down there and I have nothing to show for the 2 weeks that I've been down there. And my buddy comes in, or my buddies start coming in and, you know, they, when they get there, they said, look, man, we'll help you with your boat. All you got to do is get in it. You know, like if you can handle everything else, we can help you load and unload. So, we ended up hitting a couple spots and, one spot that we hit, we found, some fish, and by some fish, I just mean some consistent fish. We didn't find any winners. You know, we found like 23s, you know, biggest fish we found was 24 inches.
Mid-slot but, fish, you know.
Correct. But we found a pattern with those fish.
And that's important.
We found we found something distinct with those fish. We figured out the way that those fish were moving. Now, we did end up fishing a few other places, and those were really...
At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com. The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Lackluster. We all caught fish at the other places that we pre-fished, but we all worked for every single fish we caught. We ground out every single fish. Yep. It wasn't like they were pattern fish. We weren't able to like pick up a trend and say, okay, now I can follow this pattern all the way down this line and I'll pick up a fish at least, you know, two out of three spots.
Yeah.
We never found that at the other places. So come captain's meeting, when we all met up, you know, and we just kind of talked about, you know, what the plan was, and knowing that now there's 76 people coming to fish this event.
Oh yeah.
You know, that's a lot of people. So I'm now trying to think, you know, where are other people not going to go? And you know, just trying to think about where can I go to get away from everybody, but also still put myself up in a position for success. And, I kept coming back in my mind to that one place that we found, you know, some fish. And the reason that place was off the table from the beginning, was because when I went out there to pre-fish, I found out we don't have cell service out there.
Right.
And that's super important. So if you don't have cell service where you're fishing, that means if you catch a fish, you can't enter it in. If you can't enter it in, you don't have credit for it. So you could catch all the fish you want out there, but unless you get them entered in that app in the phone, none of it's any good. So automatically for me, if I can't enter my fish, that puts that spot at the very bottom for me.
Yeah.
But by the time we'd finished out, you know, Thursday and Friday in practice, and we'd gone to two other places, and, you know, by this time I've hit five different places and I've found no pattern. And, you know, I've ended up stranded on dry ground at three of the five places.
Like, true. Yeah.
You know, it was unforgiving and brutal conditions. Yep. Blowing 15 to 20 with, you know, negative a foot tides, yeah. You know, like, and, you know,
I that makes a not, lot of difference, you know, over there, because they only get like what, 2 foot tides anyways. So you're losing a foot of water.
Yeah,
you're,
our tides are,
yeah. Yeah, it's not that big of a swing.
Our tides aren't, our tide swings aren't large, especially during the winter. And then,
yeah,
you know, our flats here are actually fairly shallow, but they're wide. You know, you have a flat that's 3 miles wide from the shore and only 2 foot deep.
Yes.
You know, so when that whole flat dumps out, you got 3 miles of dry ground, you know,
pretty
that,
much
that, yeah, you got to get out of. So that's what it was. That's what it boiled down to, man. Like, okay, at the captain's meeting, I'm thinking about, you know, where am I going to have water? Where can I get fish that I can get into the app? You know, so,
yep.
Finally, I decided the only place I'd really found fish, consistently, was the place that didn't have phone service.
Right.
And as much as of a gamble that is, and I hate to make it, I figured I could do something to, you know,
yeah,
maybe turn that into a place that I could use. So what, mm-hmm, I did was, on the last day of pre-fishing before the captain's meeting, I went back to my camper and I loaded up my Starlink.
Yeah.
And I put it in the back of my truck. And if you guys can see that.
Yeah. If you're watching the video, you can see right there. He had a Starlink set up on the back of the bed of the truck, man.
Dude, I had to throw the Starlink in the bed of my truck,
brought it
from my camper so that I would have service to be able to put in my photo, my launch photo and everything at the ramp. So, yep. We went out there, man. And, I'll just say that, dude, that day on the water, before I say anything else, it was just blessed, man. It was just,
yeah. And that's a two fish combined stringer there. Two fish total length. What?
Yeah.
27 is the top end of the, yeah.
Yeah, we do a two fish total aggregate on our inches. Mm-hmm. Everything goes by quarter inch. 27 being the, you know, upper. Obviously all our fish are within slot, but our tournament director has decided to allow us 27 inch fish. Since we are CPR, they,
yes,
allow 27 inch fish as long as it touches the line of 27, but does, yeah, not cross, so, it, which, yeah, is, you know, very, very, very marginal. But,
yes,
you know, we proved on tournament day that unicorns do exist. You know, there is such a thing. But, yeah, man, so just kind of jump back. When we launched, there was only, you know, about four other guys there. A buddy of mine, Garrett, who also is a Salt Strong member and fishing the trail. He launched with me as well. Since he's who I practiced with. And, when we got out there, everybody kind of just spread out.
Yeah.
Everybody kind of did their own thing. And we all caught the last bit of the outgoing tide. During that last bit of the outgoing tide, maybe an hour, you know, all of us had to drag, mm-hmm, out too. We got out there and we had to drag our kayaks out there to get to, you know,
Get to the launchable water. Yeah.
Yeah. To the flats. So when we got out there, we all kind of split up on the flats and just kind of went out and fingered out in our own different directions. And, I had a trend that, you know, in my mind that they were just holding behind the rock piles on the down current side.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'd kind of locked in my head, you know, like I knew the tide was going out in my head. The place I'm targeting is oyster bars and rocks. So,
yep,
I'm just trying to get on the down current side of those and follow the tide out, you know? So, I got out to where I was about a foot and a half deep, about 2 miles off the shore, to where there was some structure out there. And I just, power pulled down, started casting for about 5 minutes. And I got my first fish, on a suspended twitch bait.
Yeah.
And working.
And I use those things a lot, dude. Texas Custom Lures Double D it swims down and then kind of suspends and floats, and you can twitch it and rip it. And man, I catch so many redfish in the potholes on those. But I know what the – I haven't fished Steenatchee, but I fished Keaton Beach before, and it has those similar rock piles and different things. Luckily there's a couple channels you can get in and get out, you know, there as easy as some of the ramps. But, you know, if y'all are just launching from like a roadside launch where you just pull up to the flats, you know, y'all probably had, what, 200 or 300 yard drag to get out?
Yeah, we had about that. Well, we actually launched in a creek system, but got to the mouth of the creek system, it was flat though, you know. Yeah,
right.
Like, there was a little water to float out the creek, but you got to the mouth of the creek, all the water had already beat you all the way out already. So
dang,
we got to the mouth and everybody had to do some poling and some dragging, you know, get out of there, you know.
No doubt. You catch both your out,
you know that
sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. Did you catch both of your fish that ended up winning you the event on the Twitch baits, or did you change and figure something else out?
So I actually changed something up a little while. Like, so once I followed that tide out, or I caught that first fish on that outgoing tide, and I just, you know, was targeting that hard structure. Mm-hmm. And then I sat there, and that first fish was about 18 and a half.
Okay.
I think that's what he was. But sitting there, I'd hooked up to and lost two other fish at the same time. One might have been measurable, but the other wasn't. So like, and they were quick, you know, like, but I knew then, like, that was but I wasn't stressing about losing them. To me,
right,
I was happy that I'd had the action, because for me, that was confirmation that my trend, or at least what I'm looking
for, your pattern is working.
I'm on to something. Exactly.
That's confidence. That's a confidence builder. You put a fish on the board already, and that's a big confidence boost for you in the morning and stuff. Yeah. Especially when you know you got to get your fish early. Yeah.
I'd only been fishing about 30 minutes before I had that 18 and a half. And man, you know, some people may not be excited about a fish that barely measures, but like for me, you know, you get that first one off you, it's like, you know, we can go to work now, you know,
you go
like,
to work.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially knowing the signal situation there where you didn't have signal on the water and you have to get those fish uploaded by a certain time on that tournament management app. So knowing your own fish early and can get off the water, get back to the launching time, get your fish uploaded, that takes a big weight off your chest as well, you know?
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. So yeah, I sat there and, you know, hooked up a couple more times, only got one measured on the board, but about the time, you know, I realized my bite's done, that's about time I realize I'm sitting in less than a foot of water. So, you know, it kind of clicks like, all right, you need to get out of here. You know, so I push further out. Yeah. So I get on back out, try and look for that same depth, you know, that I'd found the fish in earlier. And I just kept pushing out, man. But for the rest of that outgoing tide, it turned slack for, you know, a little bit there. I only had about another 20 minutes and I never found anything else before it went to slack tide.
Yeah.
Slack tide, the wind shifted. Mm. When it turned from slack tide, the wind started coming out of the southwest, and it started coming, Jack.
Yeah.
When that tide turned about, you know, to slack tide, and then about time it started to come in, that wind just started picking up heavier and heavier. And we had been on a pretty good warming trend for like the 3-4 days up till then, which was crazy because the Saturday before, we're in like the 30s.
Yeah, it was cold.
Yes, we're in the 30s. And then for the next 5-6 days, we're on a warming trend. By tournament day, you know, they were, you know, I mean, to jump ahead into what I saw, but like these fish were moving in a spring pattern. You know what I mean? Like,
almost. Yeah.
I know what I saw. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Like this was fall spring, what they were doing, you know? So, I move out there to slack tide and I sit and wait. Well, during practice, me and my buddy Garrett, we'd found some fish that the consistent fish that we'd found. We found them at a certain spot at a certain part of the tide, and we knew we had those fish timed. So it was all about waiting for that window, you know,
that right window.
So we knew,
for sure.
We knew we had to, you know, be at this spot at this time. So when that tide started to turn, we knew we had 1 hour before we needed to be in position. So we, you know, pretty much decided that the flats was kind of the best place to be, you know, or at least that's where I stayed, you know. So what I did was before, you know, we decided to start, or before we decide to start pushing in, I figure I'm going to get some time on the flat, you know, like I'm going to try and take advantage of this 45 minutes to an hour a window I got out here. So I push into the wind for about 10 minutes and just, you know, just grind it out, getting just sprayed all over me. You know, you know the feeling, dude, just going right into breakers and crashers. Like I'm busting it right into the wind, dude. And I, in my mind, I'm thinking we'll just get into the wind and we'll catch a drift, find some good structure, and we'll just start casting. You know, we'll pick up, move down, start casting, pick up, move down, start, you know, we'll cover the water, you know, strategically. So that's what I do, man. I get upwind, man, and I just start, you know, long bombing, dude. And by this point, I said the wind's howling. And, you know, anybody that's ever watched my videos, they know wake baits are my thing, man. And, with this wind just kind of cranking up, I knew what I had to do. Like it, anything's going to get lost out here. It didn't matter. Yeah. Like I was ready to start throwing a popping cork too, man. It was howling. Oh, yeah. And I know people make fun of popping cork, man, but, I've seen people win tournaments, cash checks, and I've
had last minute heroics on the popping cork for sure.
I'm telling you, man, I've cashed some checks for the popping cork. So like I'm ready to start chunking, you know? So, but conditions are right, and with the structure I'm thinking maybe like I could bounce this thing off of these rocks and stuff. So sure enough, I get upwind and I just start bombing down towards this rock pile, and I get probably 3-4 casts in, man, and I hook up. And when I hook up, I think I'm hung. Like I think I've hit the rock pile, and when I hit it, I just like go to yank it back to, you know, like free my hook.
Yeah.
And when I go to yank back to like, you know, snatch it to me, it snatched back. And that was when I knew like I didn't have a rock. Like I had
I got a solid one.
I had that man, mama. Yeah, I had that man.
Good.
Yeah. So that's when I, you know, realized I needed to go ahead and chill out. So I did. I got control of the fish, got his head turned. And as soon as I got his head turned, he ran straight at me.
You
know what I mean?
Straight to you.
That was a second confirmation that this was a good fish. You know, like as soon as I got his head turned, like it took everything I had to keep up with him, and he ran straight to me and under me, and I saw him coming. So on the way, I'd already gave him the drag, you know. I loosened up on him, and when he was coming at me, he went straight up under the kayak, went behind the power pole, and I just turned my rod behind me and just let him have it. So he had almost free spooled going straight behind me. And you know, I slowly got control of him again, lifted the power pole, let him turn me, you know, and then got to where I could fight him head on again, dropped my power pole back down. And it felt like a 10-minute fight, dude.
Yeah.
You know, it was probably close to like, you know, a minute and a half, but it felt like forever, man. And finally got him to the boat. And when I put this fish in the net, I knew that this fish was going to be over. Like
You can just get that and you just see him. You're just like, man, this thing's got some weight. He looks kind of long, man. This thing going to be over. Yep.
My buddy Garrett was, you know, he was a good ways away from like, he, I don't know, probably 40, 50 yards from me. And he, I could hear him. He asked me how good it was. And I just said, man, it's not going to measure. It's gotta be over, man. And I put that thing on the board, and man, it slid in, and it was perfect, dude. Like, it was unreal, man. And I knew that moment. Like,
whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way, with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why Midway USA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com. Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
You know, the game just changed.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
And I got a shot. Like, I got a big shot.
The game just changed. You know, like, so I came out there to, like, just put up a respectable number. You know what I mean? Like, I came out there to show up, support the event. I felt bad. Like, I'm like, there's no way I cannot show up. Like, right. I didn't want to be there. I'm already in a lot of pain from, you know, whatever ailment I have, you know, like I don't want to be on the water doing this, but now everything just changed. You know, like I wanted to come out there and catch 2 23-inch fish and, you know, say, yeah, it was a good time. Glad to see everybody, get my points and go home, you know, but
right
now the whole dynamic of this entire event just changed. It's not even 11 o'clock and I now have top tier fish. Like you can't, I have one fish you can't beat. So now right. I have a chance at Big Red. I can't see, mind you, because of where
you can't
I am,
submit, like, the time, you know, factor comes
not
into
only, it. Yeah. Not only can I not enter my fish, I have no idea where anybody else stands
right.
either.
Yep.
So I have no idea what any, that's another thing that, like, I mean, it doesn't affect me because I'm not somebody that watches the leaderboard during my day.
Yeah,
I got one thing to do. My job is find them fish.
I don't worry
about everybody else's standings, but, so I don't know where anybody else is at, but you know, if anybody else gets a 27 inch fish, whoever got theirs in first is the one that's going to get Big Red. So I need to make sure that my fish is entered in, you know, properly and on time. Yeah. So, at that point, like I said, the game just changes for me. Now I feel like I need another fish, you know? So I, at the same spot, I power pulled down, you know, right where I caught that one on that same rock pile.
Yeah.
And I cast for like the next 30 minutes and I just knew another one was going to show.
Yeah.
And I was so wrong. Nothing ever showed.
Oh,
nothing
man.
Ever came. Like, by this time now, we're getting to the time where the water level is starting to get where it needs to be for us to move to mm-hmm. where we know they're going to be
stacking.
So,
up. Yep.
Exactly. So now I got two fish that I wasn't even counting on, and one of them's a hammer.
Yeah.
So I feel like I like my odds moving into position now that this tide's coming in. Mind you, at this time, it's like 11:30. Lines out is at 3 o'clock because we had a fog delay that morning. So we didn't get
right.
to start till 8. So, you know, lines out at 3 o'clock. So at 11 o'clock pushing in when the tide coming in, I'm feeling good with my two fish at this point. So we move into, you know, an oyster bar. And when we get there, we power pull down and, I chunk at an oyster bar with the wake bait and I get a follower and I see him come right to the kayak and I even try and hit him with like the old figure eight, man. Like he wasn't scared of me at all. Like
right.
he just sat there and looked at it and then turned off and, you know, swam away. So I sat there chunking for a minute and I never had another taker, but that told me like they're here though, you know, I know they're here. So, and I changed it up. Like I threw a few different things, you know, I mean, eight rods in the back for a reason, you know, like
So
I'm reaching behind me. I'm giving them any different look I can think of, something near the top, something on bottom, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So finally I get to that mode where I'm just covering water systematically again, you know, picking up, letting down every 10 yards, you know, so I'm not spooking nothing while I drift. And I pick up and I move in and I park down. And about the time I cast in, dude, right into the spot where we've identified where they were in practice, the spot we mm-hmm. think they're supposed to be now. I cast in there with the kicker crab and because that's what I caught them on in practice in that spot, bumping on the rocks and oysters there.
Yeah.
So I throw a kicker crab in there from Z-Man and I'm bumping it along bottom and I get hammered, man. And I set the hook on this sucker and I get tight for a few seconds and I'm fighting him. And then I go slack. My line goes slack, and I think I've popped off.
Oh, man.
So I start reeling in real fast, and then I get hit again. I'm back on. And now I'm fighting this fish. And then it goes slack again, and I'm off. I reel in and I look at my hook. My hook's fine. My lure's just, you know. I don't know what happened. I lost the fish, two different fish or something. I have no clue. Throw back in there. Now, this is all within about 45 seconds.
Yeah.
Shoot right back in there as soon as I get back in, get my lure fixed, hook up again as soon as it falls, fight that fish for about 3 or 4 seconds, and then he pops me off clean. Like, I feel it. I'm broke.
Yeah, he got you on the
reeling oyster. I'm getting rocked every time. That's what's happening. Like, I know what they're doing. They're sitting in these holes of these rocks, and as soon as it's coming off that rock ledge, they're hitting it, and they're going right back in the rock. It's just like reef fish. I'm just getting rocked every time. I know what's happening. So, sure enough, my buddy Garrett, you know, he's just watched me miss my shot on three fish. And, you know, he shoots about the same area, and he hooks up, you know, and then he comes in with the fish and he's fighting his. I turn around. By the time he's hooked up, or he hooks up, and I holler at him. I said, if there's a kicker crab in that fish's mouth, it's mine. I just want my hook and my lure back. I grab a new rod, chunk back in there with the wake bait, because I know they're rocking me every time. So I'm thinking, if I can keep something up a little bit in the column, you know, maybe I got a fighting chance to get them out of there. So sure enough, that's what I do, man. I burn the wake bait across the top, and I hook up, double up with Garrett. That was our second double up of the day. That 27 I caught, he had caught a 23 at the same time too. We got our fish in. His was about 23 or something like that. So he's now got two measurable fish.
Yeah.
I got two good measurable fish. Mine ended up being 25 and a quarter. So let me just back up and punt for a second. So when we were waiting that hour or whatever, and I told you I'm just bombing at this rock pile, man, and I'm struggling and I'm hurting. I made a move. You know, I told you I pushed up into the wind and went hiking for a minute on solo mission trying to find something. And when I did, man, I had a conversation with God. And, you know, like I'm not one to pray to win, you know, like I don't feel like that's the right thing to pray for right there. But I do pray to do my best. And I always pray that, you know, everybody's safe and has a good time. You know, I always pray before we launch and everything. But, you know, like that day I was having a conversation with God, man. I was really struggling out there in a lot of pain and, you know, didn't want to, you know, I knew there's no way I could grind out another 4 hours on the water in these conditions, casting, you know, just trying to hit targets and hope for the best to win this thing, you know?
Yeah.
So I really, you know, was just going to be grateful for anything. So I just kind of prayed and asked God. I was like, hey man, you know, it's me again. You know, you give me a 23, 24 inch fish, I'm gone, dude. Like, I'll go to the hill. I'll go, I mean, you know, any mid slot fish, you know, I'll go cheer on everybody from dry land, dude. I'm good. I don't care if I win. I just want to weigh respectable fish and, you know, do well. You know, I want to be able to perform to the best of my ability. So that's what I did, man. I prayed, you know, that, you know, he helped me, you know, get through what I could and be able to push through and be able to perform like I'm able to. And, so when I got down there and caught that fish and got him measured and took my picture, man, I was like, it's all on film, man. I was like, y'all know about buck fever. You've heard of buck fever. Like there was a moment right there, man. I almost, you know, I told Garrett, like, I'm about to cry, man. Like, you know, it was just, I came out to just, you know, prove to myself that I could get out there and do it and to go out there and mess around and stumble on the fish that I did, man. I knew that trip was blessed, you know, like it wasn't, you know, I put myself to be in a position for success, but there was definitely a higher power at work there, man. And I definitely had a great day. I ended up turning to my buddy Garrett and I told him, I was like, hey Bubba, so, I don't want to leave you, but I gotta go. I gotta go get these fish in, you know, like, you know, I don't want to leave you. What do you want me to do? And he said, no, you need to get out of here. Go get those fish in. So that's what I did. I ended up making a long hike back, and it was about an hour and 15 minutes for me to get back to the truck. By the time I got back to the truck, I'd left the fishing grounds at like 12:45. When I got back to my truck, it was 2 o'clock, and there was only an hour left in fishing.
Lines out. No idea what was three.
Three.
And then do they have a submission window as well after it lines out? Is there like an extra 30 minutes like most tournaments? Okay.
We had an hour grace period. So lines out at three, submissions in by four.
Oh, that's
because,
cool.
Because our range was so wide for the event. And just like this, a lot of the areas don't have service. They wanted to make sure everybody had equal opportunity to be able to get their entries in, you know. And if I hadn't had Starlink, you know, I would have had to get off the water an hour and a half early just to be able to drive to service to get submissions in. So, you know, that's one thing you have to take into account when you fish in a place like that. So, yeah, I finally got back to the ramp at 2 o'clock, man. Got the satellite plugged in at the truck. And got the app open and finally got the submissions in. But they'd cut the leaderboard off at 12 o'clock. So I had no idea. I never got to see the scoreboard all day. I didn't know what anybody's fish were. I didn't know what anybody had.
Right.
I had no idea where anybody was all day. So all I knew was what I had. That was it. So it really was like full suspense all day.
Because, you were on edge. And that's kind of the most exciting wins is when you don't really know what's going on. And they call you. They keep calling. They say, okay, so-and-so with this many inches. You're like, oh, crap, I have more than that. And then so-and-so. And then taking the win with, you know, whatever. And then you're like, man, it's like super exciting, you know, and your emotions, the feel good, the feels hit you, you know, and it's, man, there's some feels going on when your name gets called on that top, buddy. I'm telling you that right now.
it was good, man. And the fact that I got to, you know, my buddy who was fishing with me when I left, you know, I ended up, when I told him, when he ended up showing back up to the ramp and I said, man, I'm sorry I left you, you know, like he made it back when lines were out and after tournament was over. And, you know, I said, man, I waited for him. I said, man, I'm sorry. I didn't want to leave you. You know, he said, no, man, it's all right. And I said, man, truthfully, me leaving you was probably the best thing that could have happened to you. Like, you know, like now you're in the zone, you're playing your game, you know, like you're not worried about me, you know, and, you know, we're not shooting on the same flat together. You know what I mean? He ended up coming out with a couple good fish as well, man, upgrading both his fish and ending with a third place finish.
Nice, you know, solid.
My buddy Garrett Boykin. But huge kudos to Pamela Worth, though. Let me just stop for a second. Like Pam came in second by a quarter of an inch. Now, like, she put up 52 inches. That's 226 inch. 226
inch average.
That's solid when you
top out at 54, right? I mean,
And mind you, this is the same lady that just put on a clinic, a 2-day showstopper at the championship in November as well. Like,
right.
Huge kudos to Pam,
Kudos to Pam.
My hat's off to her, man. She's definitely a hammer, a certified swinger, man. She's definitely crushing it.
Yeah, and that's it. That was that January 27th stop in Steinhatchee at Seahag Marina, Florida Redfish Series. Man, they got a Panhandle Division II, and an East Coast Division. The next event is February 24th in Panama City at Bay Point, and then they go to Jacksonville on March the 16th at Jim King Park Ramp. April 6th, Crystal River at the Plantation. May 4th, Panacea. I'll see y'all at that one. Rock Landing, Woolley Park. And then June 1st at St. Augustine, to be determined. Maybe we'll figure out something. Our Panacea
and Crystal River dates have actually been swapped.
Oh, so Panacea is April 6th now.
The dates are the same. Correct. The dates are the same, just the locations. Right. So, there was just a scheduling conflict with something.
Okay.
That should be updated on their website.
I am off, and I am coming to that one. I'll be there Wednesday.
Awesome, man. Yeah. All of that information.
I'll need a place to stay. Whoever's out there listening. Yeah, I'll find somewhere to stay. I like that area too. I like, I don't know if St. Mark's is going to be inbounds for that. I have to look at the boundaries because I fished that area quite a bit. I like that area over there.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I sure do.
Yeah,
man, that's going to be a killer series, dude. The only thing...
For sure.
I'm cool. I'm a little outspoken on things and I have my opinion just like everybody else does. There's six events, but all six events count to the AOI. That kind of sucks for out of state guys that want to come over because normally the series you have some throwaways, like at least two. Say with a six event series, their best four usually counts, or your best, or if you got a five event series, your best three. So maybe if some more opinionated people might say something for next year, they might kind of help that out a little bit, because that's what's keeping me from going to all of them, because there's no way I can swing all six events living in Texas, 15 hours away from Jacksonville and St. Augustine. It's a little less to Panacea and Panama City. It's 11. It's a good haul for me to get over there. I know y'all had some guys. Y'all had Andrew Imes came down, Joe Camiotti. Y'all had a couple of guys from North Carolina, South Carolina come down as well, and other in Georgia.
Yeah, some real hammers, man.
Shallow Water Odyssey, that guy. Yeah. So it's good to see the diverse crowd. Yeah. No doubt. Yeah, it's good to see the diverse crowd, but man, I feel that there'd be even more if you had a couple events you could drop, because that way you ain't got to make all six, which is tough, especially trying to fish some of the Bassmaster events and some freshwater stuff as well. I don't have one thing in mind. I want to do a lot of them.
Yeah, it was brought up. The tournament director, he's aware of the how it, you know, kind of is kind of divided up in other trails or other series,
yeah.
You know, where you have, yeah, you know, drop events. And he's not necessarily against that at some point in the future, I think.
Right.
But he's still just trying to, you know, build a lot of participation and
build a legit trail. He's doing, you know, a great
maybe
job.
There's an opportunity for him to add a couple more stops to where he can keep six. You know, I think that may be what he may be looking to do at some point in time, maybe having an eight event series and, you know, taking the best six at one point, you know. But you know, there's a lot of room for growth there, man. And you know, we are only the second year with kayaks,
right?
So you know, and so it's still growing, man. Mm. And there's still a lot that they're probably going to introduce over the next year.
Oh yeah, and introduce and add a couple where they allow motors too. That would be awesome.
That's definitely something I think they have a hard limit on, man.
Man.
I think that's where they're drawing the line for now anyway. Maybe in that's a year
tough,
or two,
though,
they might reassess or
with Hobie BOS allowing them now. And I mean, I'm going to tell you now, on the East Coast, I grew up fishing over there. There ain't going to be many spots I'm fishing without a motor over there, especially Jacksonville, Fernandina. That tide moves too hard in places, and it's just for fatigue, especially later in the year, the hot months. Man, I'm decent shape, but I'm gonna tell you, it makes a hell of a difference to spread the field out and everything. I'm all for. Well, I mean, yes, I'm on Torquedo's team, and I promote the hell out of them. But I know what I can do with one, and I know I can cover 30 miles in a day, no problem. You know. And then again, I have my pedal drive, and I do events where there's no motors, like the Galveston Redfish series last year, still didn't allow motors. And we did 11 miles one day, you know, no problem. But we don't have a 9-foot tide swing.
Yeah, it's definitely something that's, you know, that's different.
There's pros and cons for all of it, you know. Yeah.
For sure, man.
For sure. But dude, man, you know, great info and congrats on that big win over there that was a stacked field too. 76 anglers taking the top spot with that, man. That's an accomplishment for sure. I know you're looking forward to the next stop. For sure.
Yeah, my hat's off to everybody that fished that event, man. Like there were some real hitters that showed up, man. That's the thing, man. Like it was, you know, just like you said, it was one of those wins that, you know, you aren't really like prepared for, you know.
Yeah.
Granted, you know, I do well, you know, I do well as it is, but I wasn't doing well at the time, you know.
Right.
So for me to have won that one and to know that the field doubled, and just like you were talking about, like, you know, there's, man, I the people that showed up to fish this thing, like, they're not just anybody, you know, like there's people that know how to
not no slouches, man. A bunch of hardcore guys like us.
Exactly. And I respect the heck out of all of them, because you know, like when I first came into the saltwater game, these are the people I look up to, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, now I'm fishing, you know, shoulder to shoulder with them, and I'm able to hold my own, you know, like
Dave, Brandon Barton. I'm sure Benton Parrott will come out. Panama City event, I'm sure Benton's fishing that one. He's well known.
I fished the Panama event with him last year. So yeah, I'm sure we're going to try and talk him out of retirement again for another hoorah one time. But man, so I mean, with all those names that are showing up, dude, like I respect all these guys, you know, like know what they're capable of, you know, they're good at what they do, you know. So for me to come out and stand at the top, man, with, you know, my friends and my peers there, you know, that's the real win for me.
That's killer. You had your family, you know, there just, too, huh?
No, not for this one. They were there for the championship.
Okay.
Yeah, family was there for the championship. But you know, I managed third place at the championship.
Right.
But we locked up Angler of the Year there. And
that was at Crystal River, right? The championship. Or the Crystal River, the championship was
Steinhatchee.
Steinhatchee as well. Okay, cool. So you're already kind of familiar with the area too. That's
yeah,
great.
Yeah. We had just come off the championship in November. So November. And then we're coming back 2 months later for the season opener.
Yeah. Well, killer. Now that I know that date's changed, I'm putting in vacation for that event and I'm coming out. If y'all want to rent a house or something or whatever y'all are doing, Courtney, or I'm sure we'll figure something out. I'm gonna get in on that one for sure. But yeah,
you
we're gonna
already know, man.
Oh shoot, yeah. I'll be ready to go. Yeah, but no, I'm gonna throw some other stuff your way, man. Man, that's a hell of a win. I know that. Well, I got this deal I do called Pick 3, but obviously you got way more rods than 3, and I do. But yeah, if you had to pick your 3 favorite setups, rod and reel, give me what they are, the length, the reel, and then what baits you'd have tied on, your top 3. Go.
All right, man. Probably one of my favorite setups is my wake bait setup. I run that with a TFO Pro and a BGMQ 3000. That's spinning gear.
Yeah.
And probably another favorite is the Salt Strong slot machine. That's our custom rod at Salt Strong. High modulus, just outrageous sensitivity, and I can use it for anything and everything. Right now I have two of them, and I'm running one with a BGMQ, but I'm running another one with a Daiwa Tatula, and that is, I'm loving that. I've been using that for a little while, and that is quickly becoming a favorite of mine. Not just the rod is immaculate, but that reel is awesome as well. And I'm using like paddle tails or jerk shads on that.
Right.
And then, my third would probably be one of two, man. It's a Bull Bay, and it's either going to be the Banshee or the Bolt. The Bolt is probably my favorite for all around. That's what I had the kicker crab on when I broke off. The Bull Bay Bolt is a great rod, and I like it. because it can do a lot of things for me.
Like, good all around.
If I need to retie, I can retie on that rod at any time because it'll do whatever I need it to. And the sensitivity is great on it. It's, you know, not a break the bank rod, but you know, the quality on those blanks is really good. 10 pound line on all of those, and 20 pound mono, Andy mono, man.
Yeah. 10 pound braid to like 20 pound day, Andy.
Yeah. That day on the water when I broke off, I said, it's on camera. I said, I caught that fish. Right. And, I brought him in and, you know, and it was that big one. I broke off in the rocks and stuff. So I brought that fish in, put him on the board and saw what he was, took my picture. And I said, if there's two things you're going to trust in, it's Jesus Christ and Andy Mono, son.
Andy Mono, there you go.
Because I just broke off on fluoro and like put that Andy Mono right Andy back Mono in on. There.
Yep.
And it was good, man. For sure. Like a lot of people believe in fluorocarbon and I'm not saying that there aren't perks for it. Mm-hmm. But monofilament is 100% abrasion resistant, you know, superior, 100% superior over fluorocarbon as far as abrasion resistance.
Yeah, and we're talking clear water applications down there, too. That water around there is pretty – the visibility is pretty damn good, you know, for sure. You're not throwing straight braid.
Right. Yeah, no, it gets tannic and it does get cloudy sometimes.
Sometimes,
you know, but – we had a incoming tide for most of the day. So everything we had that day was pretty clear
clarity was, a couple foot, easy 2-3 foot visibility.
Cool,
man. I love, you know, the assortment of baits you have on the water nowadays, you know, stuff you can use, you know, the twitch baits, the wake baits, dude, there's stuff I do to my wake baits here. Cause we have some deeper flats, you know, that might get down to 3-3.5 foot, you know, here and there with the potholes and everything. And I take some of the, you know, the fly tire, it's got the lead wire. I wrap them around the front treble hook and they suspend. I get my wake baits to suspend like 2 foot under the water. That's another, it's like a shallow running crankbait that, you know, that don't run quite as deep as a square bill. But, you know, if you're listening out there, the bass eat the crap out of them things too, around, you know, eelgrass and submergent hydrilla. If you don't know, you know, maybe I ain't supposed to share it, but oh, well, there are certain ones I use. Yeah, there are certain ones I use that I use. But
we've been prototyping one at Salt Strong where I should be it's in production now. It should be available by spring. My custom wake bait. We've kind of taken some designs and some things from a few different, made some tweaks, and you know, kind of releasing something that's a little bit different. You know,
I'll be excited to see that one.
Yeah, man, we're not reinventing the wheel, but there's a couple things that I've found, like I've used them for a long time, and there's a couple things that I've found that are common, like that I feel are a negative or a con to a lot of them, almost all of them straight out the box. And there's some things that you can fix straight out the box, and there's some things you needed to redesign. So we you know, redesigned a lot of the things that we thought we needed to, and you know, maybe change a couple things. And I think we might even do another one that runs, you know, maybe that foot and a half, you know, like 15 incher, you know, up under the surface.
I burn them as fast as I can reel them on a 7.2 and I get them down there's ways to fish it. There's people that just reel them real slow and they zigzag on the top. That's fine and dandy, but there's other ways to do it. I rip it like a jerk bait. Like maybe I'm sharing too much. Maybe it's TMI, but that's my search bait for sure. I can find fish for that thing. That's the juice.
It's the juice.
When all else fails, there's a popping cork in a especially under with submerged structure. A wake bait sells big time.
One time for my man Courtney with the tourist rig and the popping cork, showed up for the championship, caught two fish on a popping cork within 30 minutes of getting out on the flat, looked at me and said, I'm gone.
Just like that. Courtney's
cut a check at the championship on the popping cork. He probably spent an hour and a half on the water total.
Man, I just got these braid Osakana slides. It's a soft plastic glide baits.
Oh, those look cool, man.
they're not super heavy. They're a little under 2 ounces. And they, dude, I've been on the trout on the glides.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I saw them ladyfish glides you had the other day.
Oh yeah. That's Donkey Bay. There's a mullet one right there. Look at that one.
Yeah. That looks cool.
And these, oh crap. What happened? Dustin, watch out. Something popped up on my screen. No, don't do it. Yeah. But yeah, man, dude, that's killer. Wake baits. I'm excited. Okay. And then we had to pick three. Now we got a quick five. Just answer it. Just one or the other. You give me the answer. Not sure if you're a football or baseball fan, but I just throw stuff out there. But here, redfish or trout?
Redfish.
Tops or tails? Top water or plastic? Yeah, tops or tails?
Top water, man. Top water.
Always top water. Barbecue always or seafood?
Seafood.
There you go. Jaguars or the dirty birds, the Falcons? Or neither.
I got to go Jaguars, man.
All right, right on. Braves or Devil Rays?
I'll sauce it up with the Devil Rays, man.
There you go. All right. Sauce it up with
the Devil Rays.
Right on, man. I always like to throw something a little off the hip there and, you know, get a little deal. I just kind of go, you know, regional specific with teams and stuff here and there, or food or lures or something. You know, we like to have fun here on Chasing Tide. I'm a little damn high strung and everything, so we got to keep it real, you know, all good. So, yeah, man, it's been a great having you on the show, man. We're a little over an hour right now. I'm sure my wife wants to get in the bedroom. You know, she had a long day. She was already napping. I had to kick her out earlier. So, man, we got time for some shout outs. You want got any sponsors you want to, you know, give some love to, and then give some love to the Florida Redfish Series for, man, kicking off of the second season. Great fashion with a lot of anglers and all that, man. Stoked. You can have the mic.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Yeah,
absolutely. Obviously, Salt Strong, number one saltwater fishing club in America. Absolutely. Dustin, I'll give you a link. If anybody wants to get a free trial to Salt Strong, I'll give Dustin a free link, you know, so you guys can get a free trial, get access to that. But it's really what made all of that possible, man. The data that we got from our Smart Fishing Spots app, from that map, I can get on there and see everywhere I need to fish, know all the information I need about any type of structure points, oyster bars. It's all in there. You know, Hobie Fishing, Sun Jammers, huge thanks to the folks at Sun Jammers for always really just going above and beyond any kayak needs in Northwest Florida. Definitely check out Sun Jammers in Destination Panama City. Definitely Hobie Eyewear for sure. Love the new glasses from Hobie Eyewear. Definitely wouldn't be able to see them fish without the glasses. We appreciate Florida Redfish Series for their hard work. Definitely putting on a great series for us, man. Definitely looking forward to finishing out another great year, man. For sure.
Shoot, yeah, brother. Yeah, if y'all want to follow along Matt on his adventures, y'all check him out on Instagram at Matt in a Yak, MattInAyak. And then YouTube channel, what you got?
They can just check out Salt Strong, man.
Salt Strong, your own salt. Okay, you get content for Salt Strong. Okay, 10-4.
Yeah, I don't really keep up with mine anymore, man. Same. But yeah, they can check me out on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. You know, I'm on the socials, but YouTube, find me on Salt Strong.
SaltStrong.com. There you go. Check it out, man. Subscribe to Salt Strong. Lots of good info out there. Lots of great fishing coaches out there, just like Matt himself. Man, big props on the win. Appreciate you coming on. And, y'all check him out on social, follow him along there, and we'll see y'all next time on Chasing the Tide. Thanks to Waterloo Rods for supporting my show, and thanks for tuning in to Palo Fin. We can do this without all the listeners. We appreciate y'all, and we'll catch y'all next time. Hang tight, Matt. We'll be done here in a second. I'm going to run this ender right now. All right.
awesome.
Don't miss Thursdays with Saltwater Experience, brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts, every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
Brave anglers search for the one they call king, but who will take his throne? Tune in to Waypoint TV's Battle for Silver, Saturday, May 18th from 12 to 6 p.m. Eastern, presented by Abyss Battery. Waypoint TV.